Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well. Tonight we're going to do the grand finale of the on the Drexel Project 2025, which was crafted by the Heritage Foundation and 50 other conservative think tanks. We also will speak about other news of the day happening in the U.S. and around the world. Are we seeing the beginning of World War III? Weigh in by calling us 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Thanks for sharing across social media, liking, sharing, and following, commenting on our Facebook pages. Visit our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're going to have merch on sale pretty soon. Another blog article will be coming out very soon. And some cooking recipes we're working on right now. This is Kitchen Politics 123 with David Franklin and Lori Picka. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking.
Well, yes, so
last
time we stopped off was at number 60. There are 72 different points that the Heritage Foundation, these 50 conservative groups, have listed. It was a 1,000-page document, and who in a right mind has the time or the energy to go through 1,000 pages? So if you listen to the two previous shows, or, you know, went right up to 60, about 30 each night. So we're going to continue now. This is a grand conclusion of how to plan to take democracy and destroy it completely. So number 61, disallow HIV/AIDS service providers from providing gender affirmative care. They don't believe that, you know, when you're born, you're either born a man or a woman, but because of nature, and because, for whatever reason, you know, people would have been born, but, you know, if you were born male, they think you're female, and vice versa. I mean, you know, science says it's on the genes and everything, but because they go off the whole Bible, they think it's something made up, and, you know, something that people do for attention, and it's not the way of God, and blah, 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 and they love putting religion into things, you know. So what do you think about that, Lord?
You know, their whole agenda is basically to have straight, white, Christian people in this country. Mm-hmm. That's the agenda. That's all they want. And they want them to be ruled by basically this new sort of government, if you want to call it that. I'll call it a dictatorship, fascist dictatorship. And, you know, they want to live under their rules and under their Christian so-called values, which really are incredible because we are in 2023 now, and the world has evolved. It's different. And they are way back in the, I don't know where they are century-wise, but they're missing some screws in their heads. This will never work. To disallow HIV/AIDS to service providers is terrible because people that have HIV, that doesn't mean, or AIDS, that does not mean that they got it because they were having sex with the same, with like two men or however. You can get AIDS in different ways as well through a blood transfusion, and you can get HIV through different methods as well. So to just basically say, you know, you can't have HIV and AIDS, you know, service providers anymore. So you're just a death sentence. That's just a death sentence for those people. And it's very unfair and it's disturbing, to say the least.
Yes, yes. Who's on about to judge anybody based on, you know, what gender they are, you know, who the field are. So number 62, fund home-based childcare instead of daycare. So this pays parents for staying home instead of working. And to me, this is stupid. It encourages laziness. And, you know, who sets a curriculum for teaching students at home, the home-based childcare, you know, daycare and everything. You know, you won't be able to socialize with other children, your child, when, you know, it's home-based and everything. But what's your take on this one? We'll have two callers lined up. We'll get to you shortly. You know, but what do you think about funding home-based childcare?
Yeah, I feel it's ridiculous. You know, if you, if you want to stay home and take care of your child and, you know, teach your child how to, you know, talk and, I mean, not talk, but I mean read and write and do math and just, even if it's a baby, that's your prerogative, you know. But if you want to go out and go to work, you should have the same opportunity to have home to have that funded as well. So this is ridiculous. And the only thing this tells me is that they want women to stay home and they'll pay them to stay home and, you know, get pregnant, take care of a baby, make dinner. You know what I'm saying? Go back to that 40s and 50s. And I mean, some people like that. I shouldn't call it that because some people do. You know, like some women like staying home. Some women like, you know, the nurturing part and all of that. That's wonderful. But we know that there's a big part of our population, especially our women, that, no, they work and in our, because of our economy as well and the way things cost, it almost takes two people to work in a family, you know, so you can provide all these things. So I think that is another time and energy and tax, to be honest.
Tax, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, you broke up. Say that again?
I can do 63 if you like.
Yeah, but these people have been holding a long time, so that would get California in.
Okay.
And when you come on, say your first name, where you're calling from. Hello, caller from California. What's cooking tonight? 541 error code, live on error. Hello. Okay, I guess the person's shy and everything. They would rather listen. Khalil from, hello? Hey, how are you doing? Hello. Is this Khalil?
Yes, Tim.
Hi, Khalil. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. All right, no. So what do you feel, Khalil?
I feel like a lot of people, what you're saying is, mm-hmm. right, they want a straight, white, male dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, yep. like, when they use African-Americans, like, they used African-Americans to go against illegal immigrants without
mm-hmm.
even having them understand what the situation is like, how the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
government
mm-hmm.
messed up their country and how we are two-faced it, how the
mm-hmm.
government is two-faced
mm-hmm.
it. And they just got – they were so happy to see a bunch of black people protesting against that. And
mm-hmm.
I get the feeling that was a front group that they used. I don't know for sure, but I get a feeling. I might be wrong, but I get a feeling that was a front group.
Very much so. It could very well be. We don't know what's going on in this country right now. It is a mess from top to bottom. So, you know, because of these MAGA Republicans and these conservatives and these Christian extremists and these think tanks that are, you know, want to take over our government, it's just beyond appalling, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on to the next one so we can get through these.
Mm-hmm.
If there is another pandemic, there will be no eviction moratorium. So in other words, what they're saying is, like, the pandemic that we all just experienced, and I think everybody knows somebody that died from it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that everyone knows somebody that was extremely sick from it. And then I'm
mm-hmm.
sure that we all know others that did not get COVID at all. But for these fascists, if that's what I'm going to call them, to think that the reason that they're doing this, in my eyes, is that because they do not want any mask mandates, they do not want to close any businesses if and when we have another pandemic like what we had. And I'm sure that down the road we will have one. So
mm-hmm.
this is basically, that's their plan. They don't want to close anything. They don't want
mm-hmm.
to have mask mandates. They don't want any regulations. You know, if there's a vaccine for it, they probably will get it from out of the country. They don't want to get it from, you know, Pfizer or Moderna or whoever it was. They talked about that as well. And, you know, and the eviction moratorium is telling me that you either have to go to work sick or not sick, because we're not even going to give you a stimulus check so that you can stay home and recover or, you know, not spread it around. That's the whole idea of all of this. That's,
mm-hmm.
it's very
mm-hmm.
obvious.
Yeah, these people are just, I guess cruelty is the point of these people. They call themselves
no.
Christian conservatives, but, you know, with Jesus
yeah.
to this, no, is just pure
mm-hmm.
evil. So they want to end
yeah.
public housing. There's a red line
mm-hmm.
in housing where, you know, it's strictly cut on race lines. You know, the black and the minorities on one side, the rich, you know, middle class to upper middle class and the rich in one area. You know, it's been happening since FDR days, probably even before, where,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't have a particular neighborhood because you're not white, you're not religious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and feel that minorities are a threat for some reason. And all that happened, you know, after the Civil War, when the Civil War was fought, the slaves gained the freedom, and then everything just went from bad to worse, basically. We still have that problem because you can remember back in the 70s when Donald Trump and his father, you know, owned a lot
mm-hmm.
of property and were renting out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're deliberately
mm-hmm.
not wanting to rent to black people or any
yeah.
other minority, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that still goes on today. It's sickening. It's very annoying. And we need to be better as a country.
You know? When I think of public housing as well, but when I think of public housing, and there are areas that there still is public housing, and all it is basically income-based. So if you're making X amount of dollars, you know, you can rent a home, or if it's an apartment, and usually it's an apartment, and there's one that's probably like 10 miles away from us, and that's what it is. It's public housing, and they're apartments, but you have to have a certain income to be able to rent them. I don't see anything wrong with that, because if you don't make a lot of money and you can't afford $1,300, $1,400, $1,500 a month for rent, or $2,000 a month for a house payment, because that's what a lot of people pay now, $2,000 and up, you know, where are you supposed to live? On the streets? So basically what they're saying is we're not going to have any public housing, and too bad. If you can't afford an apartment or a home, or someplace else to live, then too bad for you. You can go live on the street. That's how I take it. And this can be white, black, Latino. It could be anybody. It can be anyone. It can be anyone that, you know, meets those standards. It's, you know, things happen to people. So ending public housing is another cruel gesture that they're making. The other thing is, I'll go on to 65, they're going to increase oil extraction in Alaska. Now, because of climate change, and they deny climate change, they don't care about climate change. They don't care that the ice is melting in Alaska and Iceland and the Antarctic, and the polar bears are swimming instead of walking on snow. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about air pollution. All they see are dollar signs when they drill for oil. And we're trying, the next generation wants clean energy. They don't care if it's a windmill. They don't care if it's an electric car. They want clean energy so that so our planet can survive maybe another century. But the way we're going right now, and if they decide to drill in Alaska, you know, Alaska will be destroyed as well. And so how do they think that generations are going to go forward? They're not going to go forward. You know, everyone's just going to basically from the air or, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, and these corporations, the fracking, and, you know, fracking is very damaging, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you look up fracking, the full explanation is there, where it ruins everything that's around that surroundings once you frack. And, you know, you're not going to have drinking water. You're not going to have clean air. The whole place would be like a Chernobyl, basically, the environs that you fracked. You know, so is it really worth the money? You know, quite a few people in corporations getting money, but for the people with effect, I couldn't care less about them, you know. So the greediness that runs American economy, they need to have a heart and, you know, not frack, not drill on public lands. You know, you can drill on your private lands all you want, but on public land where there are different species of animals, like I said, a polar bear and certain type of fish and whatever else, they need protection. And you have to be really heartless and cruel if all you care about is money and not looking after those plants, those animals. And, yeah, the world needs it. Yeah, not this fracking crap.
I want to disagree a little bit, because I don't even think you should be able to drill on private land. I do not, because what's happening in this country is we have seen the torrential rains. We have seen, you know, the hurricanes, and we have seen the ocean, and everything is changing. And we don't have, maybe we might have 10 years. So why do you need to even drill on private land? You don't. There's enough gas right now and oil. They don't need to keep drilling. We have plenty of reserve. They were talking about it yesterday. They have plenty of reserve. And the other last thing, and you mentioned water, David, and I was listening to, and I was listening yesterday, and they were talking about Coca-Cola. And this is something mm-hmm. that I never thought about. But you can think about this for a moment, like your Coca-Cola, your lemonade, all kinds of pops that's made, all the drinks that are made that are on the market, hundreds of drinks that are on the market, maybe thousands of drinks that are on the market. I don't know. But they all have water in them, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They all have mm-hmm. water. Like Coke is made with water, maybe a little bit of you know, color and whatever else they put in it, the sugar cane, and they make it dark, but they all contain water. So we have to think about this as well, because Coca-Cola was saying they're almost having a hard time now because, you know, the water, you know, they have to think about the water supply as well, you know, and having clean water to make the pop. So, I mean, there is so much that goes into things that we don't even think about. And I thought about that yesterday, and I thought, wow, I had never thought about pop having all that water in it. But, yeah, how else is it made? It's got water in it. We need to think about that, too. Yeah,
yeah, but do you know that you can drill? You can drill on private lands and turn 90%, you know, 90 degrees angle. And then drill water, drill oil, sorry, other people's property, land without their permission. I think it's called eminent domain, is that? No. So go down at a 90-degree angle to get extract the oil and what have you, you know. So the U.S. government is supposed to find oil on your land, for example, you know, and it's your private property.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you won't
absolutely.
Sell. They have the right to go there, dig at a 90-degree angle to extract that oil. You know,
It's happened here in Michigan, but you can stop it. And like I said, I don't believe that is something that should be done. If you have private land, you shouldn't be drilling on it. Like I said, we have plenty of oil. We don't need to be destroying more, because when you're on private land and you start drilling and people that are 10 acres away, you can destroy their water supply as well. So why would you even think about doing that? It's wrong.
Right. Yeah, it can even destroy the whole state water supply.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's my point that I'm making.
So next one, prevent National Park Services from issuing rules about predator control. What the hell is that, predator control? You mean like when it's out of season, you don't shoot bears or, you know?
Oh, my God.
Like, don't approach buffaloes. Like, you don't approach buffaloes. You don't try to, you know, like, interact with wild animals.
What they consider predators. Now, do you remember? Do you remember, like, when the Trump Juniors would go to Africa and they would animals that were species, you know, that were animals that were restricted, you know, and
on the endangered species list.
And they were in a cage. Yeah, they're like in a cage, like
they
zoom from the helicopters. They zoom from the helicopters and they shoot them. Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Lori.
No. What I'm saying is that they go there and they hunt these animals that they are not supposed to hunt. They are on the endangered species list, but then they take pictures with them, like with tigers and lions that are endangered species, or
elephants,
the bear,
elephants,
they take their time. That's what I'm talking about. that sort of
thing. And usually they don't have a permit because when animals are endangered, you don't get permits to
right.
shoot them and kill them and have them as trophies, naturally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't
bring
want
federal charges.
So they don't want any rules of that. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go.
Yeah. So
the
whatever
they want.
Yeah, so moving on, weak and endangered species protection. We've been through that already. It's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Number 68, bring
mm-hmm.
federal charges against criminals when local jurisdictions wrongfully allow them to evade responsibility. This is all about the marijuana laws, how it's antiquated. When a white guy's found with 2 pounds of marijuana compared to a black man or a brown man, you know, the white man will get probation, but the black person or the brown person will have to spend like 6-7 years in prison for the same crime, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think what they're also talking about here is when they say local jurisdictions wrongfully allow them to evade responsibility. So what they're saying
mm-hmm.
is that there are some judges that allow the marijuana to, just like you said, someone will get, you know, 2 months or probation, and someone else will get 5 years. Well, they don't want that probation. They want everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They want everybody to not to evade the responsibility. They want them to be responsible and go to prison. That's what
mm-hmm.
they want. They want them
mm-hmm.
to be responsible and send them to prison. That's basically what they want.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, therefore, death penalty with more executions. So
mm-hmm.
this is a group who said they're pro-life and everything. Who can be pro-life when you're pro-death penalty and you want more executions? It sounds sick.
mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds, ugh. A contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
The problem?
Yeah, she...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead, Khalil.
The
sorry,
problem
go ahead,
is when it's like the other way around, they'll call you a
mm-hmm.
hypocrite for being against the death penalty but supporting abortion. But when it's
mm-hmm.
our way around, they'll say it, one has nothing to do with the other. It's the same thing with guns.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say
mm-hmm.
the person,
mm-hmm.
they'll say one has nothing to do with the other as far as guns and immigration. But then these are the same people that will call you a hypocrite because you
mm-hmm.
Support, you're against abortion, but you
mm-hmm.
don't support gun control. So when it's one way around, they call you a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's
mm-hmm.
why anybody that calls that says you don't have a right to a car, that's against gun control, I remind them what their side is always saying about cars killing more people than guns.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remind them, because, like, you can't just say it's different now after you've been saying that all the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one, let's see, allow discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, transgender status, or sex characteristics. They are really obsessed with this subject in so many different ways that it's disgusting. So they want to allow discrimination. So in other words, if you're gay, if you're a transgender, they can basically tell you that you cannot go into this establishment is the way I read this. I mean, what else? Or a restaurant. Or a movie theater,
mm-hmm.
right? Am I not catching on to this properly? Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
exactly
yeah, absolutely right.
They,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want to allow discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. That says everything. It says everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Just like back in the Jim Crow laws, in Jim Crow days where, you know, black people couldn't sit at the same counters, or even got a
mm-hmm.
hotel that entered through the back door, you know, these performers, the African-American performers, you know, because they were
mm-hmm.
black, they couldn't perform at certain places because they were black. So basically, it's the exact same thing, but this time,
mm-hmm.
based on someone's sexual orientation, you know, and mm-hmm. if they're for this, then, you know, they're more than likely for, like, segregation again, you know?
Of course.
Like, a black
exactly.
man can't marry a white woman, or a Spanish woman can't get married to a black man, you know, things like that. The
mm-hmm.
races shouldn't mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's sickening. It's heart-rendering that, you know, people stuck
mm-hmm.
in the Jim Crow days and not moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So the next one, 71, dismantle and break NOAA, reduce oceanic research and atmospheric research, because I don't believe in climate change. I think it's a liberal hoax. You know, we see the world burning and falling apart. You know, places in the world that never usually have earthquakes, having earthquakes, having tsunamis, having hurricanes and what have you. But these people think that, oh, you know, so the most outlandish thing I ever heard, basically, is that, you know, there's a QAnon starting this rubbish about Obama having the means and the CIA to control the weather. You know, that they put crap like that out there. And so, you know, people with less critical thinking or no critical thinking at all believe that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so oh, it's a liberal hoax, you know, Rush Limbaugh. May he continue burning in hell. You know, was one of the main
mm-hmm.
perpetrators of that, really. And, you know, it's pretty disgusting that, you know, you jump on people's fears and tell them, you know, misinform them with such rubbish. You know, about climate change not being real. I mean, look at the last president. He took us out of the Paris Accord. And, you know, what do I have to say about that, you know? Climate change is real.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Elaine from Michigan.
Hello, Elaine.
Hi. I was just recently talking to someone who works outside. He is a
mm-hmm.
He is a union carpenter, and he also
mm-hmm.
does outside work. And we
mm-hmm.
got to talking about the weather, and he said he has noticed in the last 2 to 3 summers that the sun is different, that when he
mm-hmm.
works outside, he can feel the sun like drilling into his body. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I looked at him and listened very intently, and I said, well,
mm-hmm.
how about anybody else that's with you? He said, we
mm-hmm.
all have experienced it, working
mm-hmm.
outside. He
mm-hmm.
said that he said we would stop for lunch, and we would say, the sun is just, it's like it's digging into us. He said,
mm-hmm.
you know, he said, this climate change, he said, this is getting to be pretty scary. Now, I'm talking about a person and his fellow workers that work outside. So this
mm-hmm.
climate change, I don't know what the heck is going on with these religious fanatics. I quit going to church because of it. Laurie, you had said something about no more public housing?
Yes.
Ice, since we're having climate change, what ice floe are they going to put the seniors on? When us seniors, you know, happen to run on hard times and we
yes.
need low-income senior housing,
yes.
what storehouse are they putting us on, or what ice floe?
Yeah, exactly. Or what ship are they going to put you on in the middle of the ocean and just tell you to float
or
away?
Under a bridge somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, so did you notice how they're building the overpasses on the expressways now? You can't find any kind of protection under it, even in a rainstorm if you happen to be on a motorcycle?
Yeah, I've noticed that as well.
They have done that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, they don't want people under the bridges sleeping there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I thought they were the party of less government.
They say they are.
Fiscally responsible and less government. And they're
yeah,
the
well,
ones
they...
that put the debt out there, and they're howling
mm-hmm.
about that. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, $8 trillion when Trump was there. Go ahead.
We're just going to go to the very last one. Then we'll go on to some other topics of the day, because there's so much going on, I don't even know where to start. The last one is prevent social media platforms from banning people based on political views. They even thought about that. Who cares? Are they trying to take away freedom of speech? Is that what they're doing? I mean, it makes
sense. Yeah, pretty much.
That's basically what
I mean, in Ron DeSantis, that's already in Florida, where every blogger is supposed to register with the state, and whatever you're writing, you have to go by the governor's office first to get approval.
Yeah.
If that's not Stalinist type of bullshit, then I don't know what is, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Ron DeSantis clamped down in Florida in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even newspapers weren't allowed to, like, post their opinions. You know, it was just
mm-hmm.
dreadful. It was awful. And God forbid... this guy, DeSantis, make it to the White House as president. What he has done to Florida, he tried to do to America. You know, it may work in
mm-hmm.
Florida because, you know, some people are not too bright there, especially off the panhandle. You know, I guess that's what happened when cousin married cousin or whatever, but I digress. Yeah, so, you know, it would be a real horror show if, you know, DeSantis is elected president and try what he did in Florida because...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you'd think that people learn that, hey, DeSantis is a one thing but does another thing. So why
mm-hmm.
would you elect him to a second term? You know, and so
yep.
said, so done. You know, it's like when
yep.
people do stupidity, it seems like it's rewarded by electing them to some high office. Look at Rick Scott, for example,
mm-hmm.
with Medicare. You know, he was charged $1.3 billion in fines and never spent a day in jail. The following year, he was
yep.
elected governor. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
brutal down there in Florida.
This doesn't make any sense. Trump is taking the judges. The judge told him he's got to cool his mouth. He can't make these threats.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump
mm-hmm.
is saying that the judge is stopping his First Amendment right to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going after people and their opinions on social media.
Yep.
Well, you know.
Yep.
They keep yelling communism. Well, it sounds like
mm-hmm.
they're the ones that are perpetrating it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that bothers me. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the things that bothers me is that basically you had. What's his name? I forgot who it was. His name was Rand Paul. I don't know if I told
yeah.
you about this, but he
yeah.
him and what's her name, Kamala Harris. They
yeah.
said that police officers they couldn't have the firepower that the civilians could. They didn't come right out and say it, but basically they were both of them were against being militarized. But I respect
mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris more than I respected Rand Paul because Rand Paul would. Rand Paul is not trying to be on an even playing field.
Mm-mm.
Rand Paul just
no.
wanted civilians to have, like, AK-47s and stuff. But it's like, if you're going to allow civilians to have whatever they want, allow the police that's forced to carry hollow point dummy rounds to have, like, things like AR-15s. I'm not fully for militarized police, but at the same time, I'm not fully for telling civilians they can have whatever they want and then restricting police officers.
Well, of course.
Especially when...
No. Why do you think that when, you know, they're called, let's say, to a house disturbance, you know, they don't know what they're getting into. They absolutely have no clue. And
right.
so they have to have backup right away and the whole shebang because it's, you know, it could be anything. And they could have AR-15s. They could have assault rifles. They could have anything. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
why not give them a level playing field, like you said, Camille? Yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Or you know what my solution, Khalil, that's a good
huh?
point, but you know what my solution is? Allow for minorities to have guns like AR-15s and AK-47s, and God forbid, any of their, these politicians who always talk about thoughts and prayers, make any one of them or their family members get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how quickly gun control laws would change in this country? Could it directly affect them? You know?
Yeah, the other problem is when you talk about the inconsistencies about gun control or officers outgunned, you get
mm-hmm.
someone that, get a person. In my opinion, they're very non-compassionate because what they do is they deflect. they only see the part about banning guns. They don't see the part about, you know, officers outgunned or not allowing certain religions or certain races to have guns. They don't see that.
Right.
All they see is, like, because I said that I made a poster of a policeman, a patrol policeman, and said, if we can ban liberals, Muslims, and certain police and certain religions from firearms, we can ban certain firearms. And I was telling the man that, and he didn't listen to the whole thing I was saying. He just said, if we ban guns, only the criminals will have them. It's like, how dare you, the way I felt with about it, is like, how dare you take one piece that's I say, and ignore the pieces that are really serious? Because it's like, when they do that, they're allowing these people to be wishy-washy, and it's, in a situation like that, when it comes to safety, you can't allow people to be wishy-washy. And that's all they're doing when they deflect attention. Even when you watch movies about, even like 44 minutes in the FBI, the, was it, in the line of duty, people, only thing they can think about is how something is propaganda to take away guns or how it shows gun control doesn't work. They're not taking the fact that these cops in both of those situations, they don't have the same things that we have.
And, you know, like it's ironic that the Republican Party said they're the law and order party, yet still, I think it was yesterday, the new Speaker of the House, Johnson, you're saying that, making a point that, you know, the insurrectionists were, you know, political prisoners by Joe Biden and Democrats and persecuting them like they were persecuting Trump. And when the latest mass shooting happened, he offered thoughts and prayers. How many times and how many incidents of gun violence are going to happen before Republicans offer more than prayers and thoughts? Prayers and thoughts is all well and good, but, you know, it's just getting worse by the day. It's like almost every other day is a mass shooting. And it's become commonplace. And you don't know, you can't go anywhere without thinking, oh, geez, I wonder if a mad person may come in and start shooting in place. Nowhere is safe in America anymore. So why not have background checks, red flag laws? The blue states have done that. The red states, not so much. They say, oh, you're infringing on my right. Next year, you try to take our guns. I've been saying that from FDR days till now. And not one Democrat said, yes, we'll take away guns. But interestingly, Donald Trump or somebody of his ilk who believe in Trumpism, because, you know, let's face it, Donald Trump is a fool. He's an idiot. He's just a puppet. But, so for example, if DeSantis went in there, he's a bit more smarter. You know, the first thing when a dictator goes into power, we saw it with Hitler, we saw it with Stalin, we saw it with Chairman Mao in China and others, that when a dictator goes in, all guns are confiscated. That's why when Nazis rose to power and Benito Mussolini in Italy, one of the first things they did was take away people's guns so they don't retaliate and, you know, try to take back the government and everything. And when you try to explain it to right-wingers, they're like, oh, no, you know, Republicans are for the Second Amendment. That, you know, you break it down for them, and they scream at you and scream over you, thinking that they're winning the argument, you know. And everything that you know, come up with, you have a counterpoint and everything, but they don't listen. So why bother waste time with them, you know?
It's
frustrating.
The same thing.
So I don't even more.
It's also the same thing with every time I get stuck, it's the same thing when I was talking to a guy. I was telling you about the deflection. When I had to hang up on a guy on another Blog Talk Radio show, he was a right winger. But basically, too many people that don't want gun control are just me. Like, they don't even want police officers to check out someone that has a gun, a rifle, walking down the street. They don't want properties to restrict people from having guns in their property. It's always me. And that's why I get so angry when people deflect attention from stuff like that. Like, these people are going to be that way. They're just spoiled people. You know? And I respect people like Jesse Ventura and people like that. But I don't respect Alex Jones or GOA or NRA because they're not in it. Like you said, they're not in it for the right reasons. They're not opposing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to send a clear message to the GOP in 2024 from federal elections, statewide and local elections that, you know, you say one thing, but you do totally another thing. It's a case of do as I say, but don't do as I do. They're obsessed with gay sex. And when push comes to shove and somebody's outed, and they say, oh, no, you know, I'm not gay. You know, for example, that Idaho Senator, Larry Craig, big Christian, staunch conservative, voted every time to, you know, against gay rights and everything. But lo and behold, he went to the bathroom and, you know, toe-tapped underneath, trying to, you know, he was cruising, basically. That's what he called it. And he was an undercover cop. And so it ruined his political career. Allegedly now, the new Speaker of the House, some guy in New Orleans, was saying, the story may come out soon, he was saying that for years he had a consensual gay sex relationship with the current Speaker of the House, allegedly. I would say allegedly because, you know, nothing is proven yet. You know, but that's the typical, you know, thing with the Republicans, you know. So one thing, do another thing behind closed doors. Look at this guy from Chicago, I can't remember the politician's name, where he was a born-again evangelical. He was representing on a state level. I think he was a state senator. I think he was from Chicago or one of those Midwestern states. And lo and behold, after like voting against women's right to an abortion and other things like anti-gay, you know, bills and what have you, his mistress got pregnant. And so because he wanted her to abort the baby, she went public with it and had all the recordings that had over the telephone and text messages. So there, you know, he got his career killed and everything. You know, how can you lash out against a woman's right to choose? But yet still, you call yourself an evangelical, born-again Christian, but having mistresses all over and getting them pregnant and want to give them abortion or make them do abortions. You know, it's the hypocrisy. And I can't understand people that see this hypocrisy and this bullshit and they still vote Republican.
Yep.
Well,
somebody break it down to me like a five-year-old child.
Tuberville is causing quite a stir. He was asked today by the Senate, I think it was Mitch McConnell, when are these appointments going to be okayed in the military? We're talking from the bottom to the top. And that each and every appointment is crucial, especially now with what's going on in Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza and Hamas. And he is completely ignoring the people that need their credentials and their raise in pay. I mean, who is pulling the strings? Where did this Johnson come from?
You mean
backing this effort? I think we've got to somehow find out.
It's Donald Trump.
Coming.
We all know who controlled Donald Trump, Putin and Russia, the Kremlin.
David's right. Don't forget, Elaine. Don't forget. He was an election denier. Don't forget that.
I know that. I know that for sure. That's what scares me. We got Tuberville, and now we got Johnson, and McCarthy doesn't seem to be upset with what happened to him. I mean, this sounds like a made-for-TV play, which is scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go on, though, for one second, I just want to, for those that maybe weren't on Sunday and Monday did not hear the other two segments, because I think that Project 2025 is frightening. I do think that if Republicans go into power in the next election, that this is almost set in stone, this project, and there's no going back, at least for 4 years, and maybe longer, because it'll dismantle our government. So let me just read just a little bit of what it is. Project 2025 is the expansion of presidential powers. It seeks to place the entire executive branch of the U.S. federal government under direct presidential control, eliminating the independence of the Department of Justice, Federal Communications Commission, Federal Trade Commission, and other agencies. So they're going to dismantle everything. Now, if you want to hear how we broke it down, because it did take us about 5 hours, something like that, you know, broadcast to go through it all. It's going to be uploaded onto our website, hopefully within the next week or so, because I have to make some changes to it, but it's going to be uploaded onto our website. It's www.kitchenpolitics123.com, and then you can read it on there, and you can possibly share it as well from there. This needs to be shared because I don't think people understand how crazy these people really are. These fringe people are, you know, they're crazy Christians. They're so extreme that they're going to destroy us, basically destroy it. So that's all I wanted to say.
So, Lori, can you picture America as a theocracy like Iran?
I'm going to tell you, yes, I can, because if we lose the election, let's say we lose the election, and they said within 180 days, they want to implement their plans. They want to put them in, you know, they want to put these plans down, and they want to start, you know, they're going to start firing people, putting in their own people. Actually, if you go on their website, you could actually go on there and you can tell them that you're interested in their plan, and you can have them send you information, and you can maybe go to work for them. It's not a joke. This is how crazy these people are. So, yes, I see it, David, and the only way that I can see that it will not happen is if there's a revolt of the American people, and I mean a revolt in a civil war type way. That is it. Or else
the thing is, with that thing, they have on their website, if you download it from PDF file and you pay something like $30 or $35, a 1,000-page document or near 1,000 pages. And I'm not going to give to the Heritage Foundation or any of these right-wing nutcases.
I agree with you. But there's enough information out there about it now, because people are catching on, that you can read about it. And the thing is that you don't have to know every single thing. The only thing you have to know is that they want to dismantle our government. And, you know, they have plans for Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, you name it, any social program, anything that helps a family, feed children, helps the poor, older people, sick people, they don't care. That's the bottom line of what their plan is.
Added to which, the one to...
I caught the tail end of Johnson talking about eliminating different offices, and one of them was he didn't see the need for having all the IRS agents. What? Is that so that his rich buddies don't get caught cheating on their taxes?
Exactly why. Sure. They won't have enough people to investigate these millionaires and billionaires that don't pay any taxes. Exactly correct. And do you know that that will cost the government more money, because they won't be paying any taxes, so they'll get rid of people. But they said it's going to cost billions, they'll lose billions of revenue because they won't collect the taxes from them. That's exactly what happened.
And they want to politicize the Department of Justice, putting their own henchmen, the partisans, in it, and go after their political enemies.
Yes,
jail them for, you know, nonsense. You know, they've been after Hillary Clinton for 30-plus years. And Hillary spent 14, 15 hours in front of the committee, and they couldn't get anything in her. Now they're going after, Joe Biden, the other son, Hunter Biden. And for years now, they said, "Oh yeah, we'll have the incriminating evidence. If they had any, they'd have shown it by now." But up to now, certain things were doctored in it, basically. Then it's a federal crime for doctoring evidence. So who's going to go to jail over that? None of them, because, you know, and to come in front of a congressional committee, you know, you have to be subpoenaed. Did Jim Jordan come when he was served a subpoena? Did a lot of them come when served
No.
They disregarded the law.
No.
No punishment was done. You know?
It's
a joke.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about for a minute, because President Biden has been asking for a package for Israel and for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to put both together, and for Taiwan, right? For Taiwan as well, because of China.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted these three things together, President Biden. And so today, the House, I sent you this article, David. It's in your messenger. The House approved nearly $4.5 billion in military aid for Israel. President Biden's going to veto it, because what they did is they broke it down, and I'll just read it because it's probably better than me explaining it. The House approved nearly $14.5 billion military aid package Thursday for Israel, a muscular U.S. response to the war with Hamas, but also a partisan approach by a new speaker, Mike Johnson, that poses a direct challenge to Democrats and President Joe Biden. And I don't call it a challenge. I call it a threat. In a departure from norms, Johnson's package required that the emergency aid be offset with cuts in government spending elsewhere. That tack established the new House GOP's conservative leadership. It also turned what would typically be a bipartisan vote in one dividing Democrats and Republicans. Biden said he would veto the bill, which was approved 226 to 196, with 12 Democrats joining, most Republicans on a largely party line vote. He said that the package would provide Israel, this is Johnson, with the assistance needed to defend itself, free hostages held by Hamas, and eradicate the militant Palestine group, accomplishing all of this while we also work to ensure responsible spending and reduce the size of the federal government. There you go. So basically,
That's what I heard this afternoon. Reducing the size of the government. And he went, him and the House of Representatives was on Fox, I think it was yesterday, presenting their plan.
Mm-hmm.
With John Hannity. Now, what the hell? If we don't, we got to wake up. We have got to wake up. There's too many people in this country right now that where you push them, that's where they stand.
Yes.
Oh.
You know, how this is going to end, it's not going to end. What's going to happen is President Biden is going to get to, the Senate will not vote for it, of course. And if it does reach his desk, he will veto it. So this is going to be like a circle of events. I don't know. Do you see anything happening with this, David?
I don't think it's going to pass the Senate, because the Senate is more, what should I say, the slower in movement, you know, and they take weeks, sometimes months, to look at the bill, break it down, put it in committee, you know, discuss it, debate it for like sometimes 2-3 days. And, you know, it may not reach to like where I have a final vote for it. You know, the Senate is more deliberate and the more thoughtful, the think more and dissect every piece of legislation. And if for some miracle that it reach a president's office, then as Biden said, he is going to veto it. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's a good move, because why should Israel get money and not Ukraine? It goes to beg the question, why are Republicans fighting so hard against Ukraine getting money to defend themselves from Russian aggressors? You know, it's like appeasement. Well, Neville Chamberlain did it with Hitler, and he just overpowered Europe within no time. So if Putin gets his way with Ukraine, who's next? Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, God forbid Germany, you know? Yeah, the nonsense has to stop now, you know? We're not have appeasement. Because Joe Biden is no Neville Chamberlain.
The thing is that the world is in a mess right now. I mean, you know, we say, oh, are we heading towards World War III? Well, you know what? It's very possible. And the reason I say that is because if the aid is not given to where it belongs, like let's say in Ukraine, and they're going to run out pretty soon of the needs, the money, whatever they need, whatever they need to keep fighting Russia, they'll run out of that. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, then Israel as well needs aid for the people there and for, you know, Gaza, for the people that are injured there. Most of the hospitals are not in working condition. We know that. So Iran will see us as a weak. The Middle East will see us as weak if we do not go with the power of giving them the money and getting, you know, giving them support. So they'll just say, well, America's weak. And so I think Iran will probably do something as well. Why can't this turn into something bigger? It can. I say that it can. It scares me because I see that it can.
Yeah. Well, people have been calling for a ceasefire, and Netanyahu's saying no, you know, and the people out there in the wilderness and in tents, even they are getting carpet bombed. So does Netanyahu dislike Palestinians that much, that innocent people who have nothing to do with it? He's bombing children, women, you know, so that has to come in consideration where, hopefully, the United States can strong-arm Israel and say, hey, you know, calm it down. Let's come to the negotiating table and talk. I mean, yes, you all get rid of Hamas. They're full of shit, and they're terrorists. They're not freedom fighters. But if this continues with Netanyahu, Hezbollah will come in, Iran will come in, Egypt, Syria, whoever, you know? So come to the table and talk about it. Don't just like bomb, bomb, bomb without stop. I remember it's not an army. You know, Hamas is like, terrorists don't have armies and you don't know who is who. You know, so you can't, you know, just randomly bomb, bomb, bomb. You know, kind of hit, just going to grow more out of that.
Yeah, but Netanyahu is not exactly on the level either. He's under a lawsuit in his country. They wanted to take him to trial for things that they don't like what he's been doing. So,
and
you know this is his good excuse. Well, I have to run this war.
President Biden has asking, you know, for a pause. You know, he's been asking for a pause on the bombing. He's been asking for that ever since it started. He's been, you know, he got them to delay. What has it been, like 3 weeks now? And they did finally start. But the thing is that I was watching today for a little while, the tunnels that they have in Gaza underground, they have been working on them for over a decade, 10 to 15 years. They are all through the city of Gaza. They are all through. They go all the way through. They can take their trucks through there. They can take anything through there. And you know, they're bombing the city itself, but the tunnels are still there. So I and I'm guessing that's where Hamas is. That's my guess, that they're in those tunnels and they're protected by the tunnels. So I don't know how this is going to help, you know. It's only going to kill people, like David said. It's just going to kill innocent people. And we do have, you know, over 200 hostages still there. I don't know. Are they underground in those tunnels? I don't know. Nobody knows where they are.
We need, you know, my suggestion is we need a ceasefire. We need to take and get those people out of there. And then if anybody wants to stay, well, then it's just like when a hurricane hits. Then you stay. Then you're in harm's way.
You
but we have to have a two-week or whatever it takes to get the people out. Those are innocent victims of
yes,
everybody's stupid battle of politics and power. We got to get those people out of there. And then if they want to level Gaza, go ahead and level Gaza.
Well, Elaine, do you think that Hamas is going to do agree to a ceasefire? Do you think that they will?
I don't know.
That's the whole thing.
But the thing is, Netanyahu doesn't really want to try, and that bothers me.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I'm just asking. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know if Hamas would agree to a ceasefire. He might think twice and say, "Well, gee, I'm not going to look very good in the world's eye, so okay, mm-hmm. I guess I'll go for the ceasefire." I don't know. But if they haven't tried it, Netanyahu hasn't tried it.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
Maybe it shouldn't, but it does. Because I see the innocent people in the crosshairs. And that's not fair to them. A lot of them don't even know about the politics. They probably don't even have anything but their phones.
Yeah.
They didn't look like a rich area. Gaza looked like it was pretty much a low middle class area, the whole kit and caboodle.
You know who we can thank for all this? We can thank the British, because back in 1920, 1925, they didn't outright colonize Palestine. But you know, they have this divide and conquer mentality, where you know the sole land to the Jewish people in 1948, you know, and you know the Palestinians were there before, you know. So okay, so it's your land when the Palestinians have been living there for years, you know. After World War, because remember, current day Palestine was part of the Ottoman Empire. You know, so for the English, when World War One to come and, like, colonize somewhere. And so, okay, this territory is ours now, so I can do and say anything I want. I sold these lands to the Jewish people who are trying to escape Nazi Germany, you know, and Jews from all over the world come and say, hey, this is your new homeland. And the partition of 1948 happened.
7:32 a.m. Traveling to Fred Meyer, Gresham, 2497. Southeast Burnside Road. You will receive a reminder.
And what was that?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. That is.
Wow.
It sounded like somebody's GPS.
Yeah.
That was strange.
Yeah.
What was I saying?
David, I understand that, but that was then, and this is now. We gotta do something with the people in the crosshairs now. This is my only suggestion. I don't know.
How about a two-state solution?
You mean after we save the people?
No, I'm saying why not have a two-state solution?
What do you mean two-state solution?
Meaning Israel and Palestine will share the land, you know, share power or whatever, give the Palestinians autonomy and not have them under an apartheid-like system, you know, that where you need papers to travel from point A to point B and certain roads you can't walk, and as a Palestinian, you know, there's only Jews alone can walk on that path. You know, and that's somewhat apartheid, what they had in South Africa. You know? You need to build trust. And it's sort of hard when it's 80 plus years and all these people are at it.
I'm just going to hang up.
Who's this?
You mean just an open border?
Well, two sides can come together and talk and try to work out an amicable solution.
Right.
And have a two-state solution, meaning they share the land, they share the government. The defense secretary was saying that recently, up to 2 weeks ago.
I don't know.
Well, I would say just save the people right now. There's so much going on. It sounds like a good idea, but right now we've got to just plain save the people. Save the men, women, and children. Innocent people caught in the crosshairs of a few, and it's a handful of greedy people. We don't know all the players, but I'll bet you there isn't more than 10 of them. I'll bet there's about 10 players.
Who knows?
So the Hamas official discussed hostages taken after terror attack in Israel. And this top Hamas official insisted Thursday in an interview with NBC News that the leadership was open to a complete compromise deal to free all the hostages that the military group has been holding for nearly a month now. So his name is Ghazi Hamad, a senior member of Hamas political bureau, who has recently and repeatedly threatened to launch fresh terror attacks against the Jewish state, also made a demand that Israelis are sure to reject, that Israel, quote, release all prisoners from the Israeli detention centers, end quote. And that's not going to happen. And he also went on to say, we want these people to go home, and also we want our prisoners now to go home, so I think we are ready now to have a complete compromise, complete a deal, in order to receive all the hostages, either militarily or civilian. Yeah, that's a dream that will never happen.
I don't think so. The people that they are holding, I would say probably as bad as Hamas or worse. So,
but you know, they freed four of them. They freed four women, right? They just decided these. Two elderly women and two younger women. They freed them.
Okay.
With no demands or anything. It's just wacky.
I still haven't figured that out. That was so bizarre. That was bizarre. There was no sort of common sense that was, you know, a reasoning. You know, why
no,
did
demands,
they...
No, it just...
Yeah,
you're
and
right.
Her husband,
is a good word for it.
Yeah. So the two older women, their husbands are still being held hostage. The two older women, both of them. So it sounds like this Hamad, it looks like Israel is holding 5,000 Palestinian prisoners, including 160 children. The United Nations reported in July, of those approximately 1,100 were detained without charge or trial, the United Nations said. Critics of Israel have also state turned Gaza into an open-air prison by sealing off the borders of the Palestinian territory, where the more than 3 million people are packed into a sliver of land roughly the size of Philadelphia. I mean, I don't know what to think. And you know, is that really true? I don't know. I mean, we have no way of knowing. I imagine, you know, somebody knows. And what goes on between the two countries go on. But right now, I feel that we have gotten involved in a way that, you know, if we say that we're going to give them aid, you know, to both Ukraine and to Israel, we need to keep our word. so that we remain solid throughout the world as, you know, solid and powerful with, you know, in the world, just like we've always been. We can't show weakness, because if we show weakness, you know, we're done. And that bothers me a lot, because the way that our government is acting right now, these Republican MAGAs are acting right now, and those who are looking in are thinking, what the hell is going on in America? They're probably terrified, just like we are.
Well, you know, I don't want boots on the ground. As a volunteer, it's a volunteer army. I mean, it's a voluntary military.
Yeah.
I do not want boots on the ground for the simple reason these MAGAs, how many of their kids are in the service?
Oh, probably none.
Yeah. Give us some statistics. Give us some statistics, Republicans. How many of your kids are in the service?
Yeah, no, none of them are. I'm sure of that. You know, I'm sure none of them are.
Maybe one or two. And that would probably be the ones that they call a rhino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Mike Johnson, because none of us, you know, he, all of a sudden, he's Speaker of the House. Nobody heard of, at least I never heard of him before, you know, before they elected him Speaker of the House. I knew nothing about him. We know that he is an avid, how do you put it? He's a Christian, but he's also a very staunch right-wing conservative. What do you call those people, David? You have a name for them.
I don't want to, but I can't put it on the air.
Crazy right-wing nut job.
Evangelical
crazy right-wing nut job.
There's
a lot of them in the military as well. And a group of Russian nationals were able to donate to newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson campaign in 2018. And how they did it was by funneling money through the United States company, the Texas-based American Ethane Company, previously donated tens of thousands of dollars to the campaigns of Louisiana Republicans, including Johnson, who was voted by the House to replace McCarthy as Speaker. 3 weeks of GOP chaos in the lower chamber, while American Ethane was run in 2018 by American John Houghtonling, and 88% of the firm was owned by 3 Russian nationals. Can't pronounce the name because I don't know how to butcher the names and everything. So Johnson's previous Russian campaign donations have been brought up by, as people criticize the Republicans following his election to Speaker of the House, a position which is second in line to the presidency behind the vice president. So Speaker Johnson's office has been contacted for comment via email, and up to now, nobody heard from the Speaker and one of the men behind the companies. An oligarch with close ties to Vladimir Putin was also found to have financially backed Maria Butina, the Russian citizen who lived in Washington, D.C., she was also sentenced to 8 months in prison for espionage. And in 2019, after admitting to acting as an unregistered foreign agent to infiltrate conservative political groups and influence foreign policy to Russia's benefit before and after the 2016 election. So, you know, the culpability of these Republicans were, you know, because money was flowing. They don't ask any questions. They don't do a background check, no due diligence. Once the monies keep coming, then they didn't care where it was coming from, because money is the milk of all politics, and a week is a lifetime in politics, and you just need those constant donations, a dark money from super PACs and everything. So Johnson's former campaign manager, Jason Herbert, previously told us at The Advocate that a campaign returned the money given to them by American Ethane in 2018 once it was made aware of the situation. Frankly, I don't believe that crap. Sharing a subpoena issued as part of a special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia's investigation in 2018, Los Angeles-based attorney Ronald Lebo posted on Twitter that read, and I quote, "Besides being supportive of the attempted coup, Johnson received money from Russian oligarchs and was known to Marina Butina, the Russian spy as a go-between to funnel money from Putin and to the NRA and Republicans like Johnson. So here you have, you know, this go-between person, Marina Butina, who was expelled from a country after spending months in prison, I think 18 months, that Arjun said. And, you know, there's no consequences for Republicans who took money from her. You know, that money was funneled from Vladimir Putin and these oligarchs. So a fellow Twitter user, Dave Greenidge, several wrote, quote, Putin pal Konstantin Nikolaev, who handled Russian spy Marina Butina, was also the principal stockholder in an American defense company when they donated over $37,000 to Mike Johnson's election campaign. Does anyone else think that might be a problem? Yeah, big conflict of interest there. You know, how can you have sanctions on Russia, but yet still accept Russian money? That's just madness right there. It is against federal law for a campaign to knowingly accept donations from a foreign-owned corporation, a foreign national, or any company owned or controlled by foreign nationals. So, I mean, Republicans by far should know that this is not right, but do they care or not? You know, if you can't have gerrymandering in Florida and Alabama and wherever else, and putting seats after the law, the courts and all, that would be illegal, and you still do it. You know, you think they'll, you know, listen to the Federal Election Commission, and the FEC ruled in 2022 that American Ethane made political campaign donations using funds derived from loans from foreign entities ultimately owned by Russian nationals, and that American Ethane had zero domestic funds available to make those contributions. So who will go to prison for all this crap? Nobody. Because we have a Supreme Court who's made up totally of right-wing fundamentalist Christian majority. And, you know, in a scathing letter to two FCC commissioners, Democrats Shanna Broussard and Ellen Winshrob condemned their Republican colleagues after the agency owned fined American FA $9,500 in civil penalties for donating to GOP candidates in Louisiana in 2018, despite being almost entirely owned by Russian nationals. So a little pouch for you, $9,500 with no jail time, no excoriating. What the hell? Imagine if that were Democrats. We'd hear about it from now right to the election next year.
Absolutely. And that's what's wrong, you know. It's, you know, it's wrong. And how this man became speaker, you know, I keep wondering, was it all planned? You know,
Donald Trump gave his blessing and he became speaker.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think this whole thing was planned from McCarthy, and they could throw Jim Jordan out there, you know, feed him to the wolves because nobody likes Jim Jordan. And now that I'm learning more about this Mike Johnson, I think I would have rather had Jim Jordan because he was stupid. This guy is, he's soft-spoken. He sounds intelligent when he talks, but he has a...
He's got an agenda.
He has a hidden agenda. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
He has a hidden agenda.
Well, I wouldn't say hidden agenda. He does say what he wants to do and everything, so I wouldn't call it a hidden agenda. I call it more of a
covered up agenda. We don't know all the parts of it yet. It's but he's letting us know, isn't he?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Hi. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. This is Lisa Tarr. I'm in Oregon here.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi. Hi, just fine. What I was going to ask, do you think this, I forgot his name already, do you think he might be working for Trump?
Who, are you talking about the speaker?
Jim Johnson, yeah.
Mike Johnson, yeah. I think he made a phone call, and yes, that's why he's Speaker of the House. Absolutely. He fits the bill very well. He does.
Yeah.
That's what. What about you, David and Elaine?
Oh, I definitely think he's working to get Trump elected because Trump will do their bidding.
Yep. And the reason also, Lisa, is that Mike Johnson was an election denier as well.
Oh.
And he started, David, do you remember when he started to do something? I don't remember what he was doing.
He called these insurrections. He called these insurrections. He said, where is Clement and Fine?
Yeah, go ahead, David.
I'm sorry.
Never mind.
I'd like to hear what I know that he was an election denier, and then he had something to do. He was going to do something else, but I don't remember what it was at the moment. Do you remember, David?
No.
You don't remember? Okay.
No.
Pushing the phony papers, the affidavits, like the ones that Stanley Grott and our delegates in Michigan were going to file?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. I have to look it up again. I know we talked about it, but right now it escaped me. So, okay, and what were you saying, David?
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. Oh. You know, can just roll ahead. We have 30 minutes left.
Okay.
The number to call, 515-605-9802. And say your first name, where you're calling from. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda tonight before we go is Mike Johnson. Where does he hold his money? He has no bank account. Does he have an offshore banking account? He gets all this money as a congressional representative. You know, they get paid like $175,000 and free health care, free this, free that, but yet still, there's no bank account. What's up with that?
I know when I read that, I was floored. And not only that, his wife works as well. And, you get paychecks, right? And what do you do with your paychecks? How do you, have to put them somewhere to cash them. Does he cash them at the, grocery store? I mean, really, at the local bar? I mean, where does he cash his checks? How does he pay his bills? It makes no sense.
Why do they allow that? Why is that even allowed? Don't they check out the sources of these people that are working there?
It's bizarre.
For the government?
Well, they're looking at the House. It goes on to say that the House Ethics Committee requires members of Congress to disclose all their household bank accounts if the accounts each hold at least $1,000 and have a combined value of more than $5,000. Now, Johnson made at least $174,000 per year from the combination of his representative salary and any additional payments received, such as from his teaching appearance. Johnson's wife has two streams of income from different employers. But on his financial disclosures, Johnson has listed only one asset, a retirement account. In 2016, he listed a state government fidelity account valued between $1,000 and $15,000. He transferred those savings to a thrift savings plan, a federal program, the following year. Johnson's appeared to have cashed out the entire account in 2021 because he lists no assets at all in his 2022 form. So no wonder he wants to get rid of the IRS. Sense,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Johnson, he sounds exactly like probably what Trump would want to do.
Yeah. So Johnson's disclosure forms are remarkably sparse. He lists almost no travel reimbursements or gifts, and relatively little external income. But Johnson just owes a lot of money. Every year, he has listed a mortgage on which he owes hundreds of thousands of dollars, and a personal loan of which he owns tens of thousands. In 2019, he opened up a home equity line of credit, also worth tens of thousands of dollars. I find that hard to believe. Where's he living in, a mansion or something? It is, of course, possible that Johnson really has no bank accounts and just keeps all his money in sacks and cash hidden under his mattress. Another explanation could be that he has selective amnesia and has forgotten to disclose his assets for 7 years. But several
I'm surprised they don't do a federal investigation on him.
Oh, they will. But several ethics experts offered another reason. Johnson is terrible at managing the money he makes and may be in massive debt. He owns hundreds of thousands of dollars between a mortgage, personal loan, and home equity line of credit. So where did that money go? Communications director for the watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington told the Daily Beast, if he truly has no bank account and no assets, it raises questions about his personal financial well-being. That whole thing sounds tricky.
Yeah.
Well, it's really easy to give him money on the side because of the fact they're going to hand it to him in cash.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he can get paid off real easy without getting caught.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
I know. I agree.
I can't believe that.
So, in other words, maybe we should have had Jordan.
That should be the top story on the headlines for these newspapers. I don't understand how come they're not even bothering.
He's so religious. How much money does he tithe?
Yeah, good idea. Good question. I honestly do not know.
I mean, that should be on record at his church.
Yeah. Hey, do you know this war with Hamas and Israel? why aren't the Jewish people, the Jewish state, using those Jewish space lasers to get rid of the terrorists? I mean, space lasers can, like, pinpoint, it was accuracy, you know? So, I mean, it's a joke, but, yeah, I just be sarcastic.
That's true. You know, they also have the ability, Israel does, and I had no idea there was such a thing, that they can shoot this, and they said it's like a sponge when it comes out. They can shoot it into the tunnels, and then when it hits the tunnel, it expands, and it closes the tunnel. It, like, expands like a sponge. You know, I thought that was wild. They have the ability to do that as well. So maybe that's the plan. I don't know. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, who's bombing up at the top, though?
Pardon?
Who's bombing on the top? I mean, I turned on the news this afternoon, and they were showing shots from Gaza, and there was rockets hitting buildings and stuff. Who's shooting those off? Israel?
I don't know. I haven't said. They're assuming that's who it is, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Boy.
You know?
Hey, so, quick thing. Did you know that Donald Trump Jr. admitted in court yesterday that he signed fraudulent documents? He was trying to make a joke out of it, and the judge didn't find it funny. So basically, he is throwing himself and his siblings and his father under the bus, thinking he's being cute and funny. My question is, when the hell will they all end up behind bars?
Well, Eric today was on the stand, and so I had them turned around. Okay, I always thought Donald Jr. was the smart one, but I not. He must be the drunk and the cokehead. I'm not sure. Allegedly, and then I always thought Eric was a Dumbo, all right? Literally a Dumbo. But Eric is the one that really is a quiet one that has been working in the Trump organization. So both of them know what was going on in the Trump organization. They do know.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't blame it on accountants. You know, they can't because the accountant is not going to go and measure a building. That's not their job, you know, to measure a building. They gave them the numbers, and they were inflated, and the accountants thought they were telling them the truth. I mean, that makes sense. You can't blame the accountants for, you know, measuring a building that's, let's say, 50,000 square feet or an apartment, and they said it was 100,000 square feet. Those accountants didn't go there and measure those apartments or whatever building it was. They didn't do that. They took their word, right? I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's
Eric said he was a field. He's the man in the field. So he's the one that would calculate the numbers, wouldn't he?
I think they all had their hand in it. I do. And you know what? Ivanka. Let's take Ivanka Trump, okay? This really got me today when I read this. I don't know. Did I send this to you, David? Let me send it to you right now because I just found this a little bit ago. But this really got me, and I'm sending it to you right now. She claims that when she has to go to court next week, that it is a hardship for her. It's an undue hardship. Do you want to know why? It's a hardship?
Why?
It's a hardship because this is what her lawyer said. The request to stay the entire trial came to a tail end on Thursday, court filing, arguing that Ivanka Trump will face undue hardship if forced to testify, in part because she is scheduled to appear in the middle of a school week, so her nannies can't take care of a child in the middle of the school week. Florida to Washington, and then go home. Really?
Mm-hmm.
She can't afford a nanny?
She can't afford a nanny, but she's saying... She's saying that it's going to be in the middle of a school week, so she won't be able to attend, you know?
Yeah, she can't go if it's in the middle of a school week, and that causes her undue hardship.
But when she was aboard in Washington, when her old man was in Washington, it wasn't a hardship on the kids then?
Of course it was.
When she was never home?
She can pick her hardships, you know that, right?
Delay tactics. That's a pro-Trump move.
That's all it is. She doesn't want to testify. That's the bottom line. Does not want to testify. So, and
yeah,
I think
fear of testifying against her daddy lover, you know.
That's right.
mm-hmm.
You're right, David, but yeah.
That's so gross, picturing them kissing and canoodling and she on his lap. Oh, that's so disgusting.
I know. Wouldn't it be great if Eric and John Jr. were charged with lying on the stand, you know? Because basically we know that they knew what was going on. There is no way they didn't know what was going on. I'm sorry. his dad turned everything over to him when he became president. You know what I'm saying? Unrevocable trust or something like that he did. So I find that hysterical. But we shall see. This might get really good. And if you guys, if everyone's noticed, I think that this trial, this case, I should say, because how many are there now? Four of them or five? I don't know.
Yeah.
Count. This one bothers him the most. And does everyone, you know why I think it bothers him the most? And I'll let you guys all think about it. It bothers him the most because, first of all, it's going to basically unseal his phoniness, for sure. Not as, he won't be as rich as he told everybody he was. His Trump name will be worth signs, will be coming down in New York, and he won't be able to do business in New York. And for him, that is probably worse than the documents case for him. I think this case bothers him the worst. What do you guys think?
Definitely.
He's going to be exposed financially. And he doesn't really have all that kind of money. And it's been brought out that he has gone to every court proceeding, which he wasn't even, he didn't have to go. And he's sitting there thinking about his money.
This one really
either the money
him.
He has or the money he doesn't have.
It exposes him for who he is, a cheater and a liar and a fraud.
Definitely.
I see him in a cardboard box down by the river.
They're going after 250. I hope they go after 500 million. That's what I hope for. And David, what is your take on what he thinks?
Well, he shouldn't be on Forbes. He shouldn't be on the Forbes just to begin with. Cause he bloated his net worth, and he's just a fraud. People have known this for years now. So I don't know why the media keep giving him airtime. Is that they haven't learned anything from 2016? And I guess because ratings are high, high ratings equal big money. You know, but it's still propelling him to be on a bully pulpit. And, you know, to do no business in New York, I hope it goes to other states because it's going to be a blueprint of how to get Donald Trump, his greed, his lying. You know, it's going to kill him, both financially and mentally. It's going to break him. And speaking of mental illness, that is Donald Trump, isn't it strange how mental illness hardly massacres anyone in Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom? Those people have guns, and they register the guns, and, you know, they're responsible with the guns. And no law-abiding citizens in Canada, Australia, United Kingdom have AR-15-type guns. They have a normal handgun. So, you know, it's like our dicks get that hard when we have an AR-15 or M-16, you know? So, I got to hunt. No, you don't have to hunt, because when you use guns like that on animals, just tear them apart, you know? So, you know, weapons like that belong in war and not on the streets or in your home. And eventually, in 2024, when Republicans are voted out for the most part, up on top, right down to the bottom, we're going to have change in this country. We're seeing it in Michigan. We're seeing it in New Mexico. We're seeing it in the blue states and everything. And they're in for a rude awakening come 2024 because people not really forget. You know, it's just another Tuesday when there's a mass shooting. And the first thing, you know, he was mentally ill. You know, yeah, that may be the case, but what does that colored person do it? Oh, you know, he was a drug dealer, he was a thief, he was a pimp, that. You know, you notice that, like how the report, you know, when it's a white shooter, he had mental illness. It's a first line of defense. But when it's a person of color, you know, he had a hard childhood, no father in the house, that, no father figure.
Yeah.
This meat is something else. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Sickening.
Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to mention, I'm sending it to you right now. I'm sending it to you right now, David. Adam Kinzinger, remember him? He was the Republican. He sat on January 6th committee. Young man, and he resigned.
Mm-hmm.
This is, he did an interview, which I thought this was very, I was very surprised at this interview. And he went on, he was on, let's see, where was this? Oh, it was on Fox. It says, former Adam Rep Kingsinger, Republican, Illinois, said he was disowned by his family after he left Congress and lost the trust of Fox News host Sean Hannity. So mm-hmm. I had that, he said, so I had family that sent a certified letter disowning me, he said, in a CNN interview on Monday. They said, I've lost the trust of a great man like Sean Hannity, which is funny because they believe that. They said I was a member of the devil's army, his own family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does this say about our society? When I read this, I was floored. You know, he was, you know, he's a congressman. He's a statesman. He's loyal to his country. He served our country. And mm-hmm. his family says he's a member of the devil's army because Sean Hannity doesn't want to interview him anymore. And, you know, he went against Donald Trump on the J6 commission. Can you imagine that? I can't. I find that so despicable. I really do.
Republican Party and this religious element has been working on the people since a little bit before the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They have fed the narrative to the point where people have believed it. If you tell somebody enough times that they're ugly, they're going to believe it. And that's exactly what's happened to some of the populace. They've been told over and over and over, any time anybody gets any help, they're takers.
Yep.
And they have been fed that. They have been fed it through the media. They have been fed it through their churches.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very hard to unbrainwash a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
I have faith that the majority of this country has overcome this narrative. I really do. I do have faith. But they're going to have to make sure that they get their cans out there and vote. And there's a lot of people who want to vote, but they don't understand what's going on. And you're going to have to vote blue. And some people you're going to have to hold your nose for. That's life. But you're going to have to find out in these nonpartisan races, who is a Republican and who is a Democrat? You take and you find out if they are holding a card or a ticket, or they go to meetings to a Republican party. If they're Republicans, you do not vote for them, because we're getting it from the top to the bottom to the top. You got to be what a Republican is, a dog catcher. Because they're liable to take and euthanize your dog.
So I want y'all to do me a favor and tell me how it transpired. That day, I said to Alexa, Alexa, this Trump lies. And, you know, Alexa has been talking for the past 5 days, you know, nonstop. 30,000 lies that would know off in his 4 years.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, that was a joke. That was a joke. I guess it went
That's
flat.
That's terrible. You know?
That's a joke. It was meant as a joke.
I know, but
I'm going to try it tonight.
Okay. No, don't.
Yeah,
It'll never shut up.
You can tell Alexa, shut up. Yeah. Or Alexa, stop, you know.
Alexa, shut up. I can't imagine. That would be a good way to... that would be a good way to get somebody, you know, to believe the lies. That's hysterical.
Yeah, and the only reason why Fox News Channel is there because Trump's ball won't lick itself. So these people have no shame or remorse. You know, as we see in a lawsuit, or two lawsuits, really, you know, by Dominion Voting System and whoever else, that the internal memos and emails said that they think Trump is crazy and Trump is not of right mind, but yet still they push the big lie. You know, it's all about boosting ratings and getting money, and that's why Fox News should not be on air because they are fucking liars. They need to be taken off the air, bring back the fairness doctrine, you know, because in this country, I guess money is the end all and be all, and we're having lies out there spewed. And people not having critical thinking because the whole public school system is messed up and further on mess it up by having chartered schools and everything and teaching a curriculum that is whitewashed. Then we'll have stupid morons like QAnon and the Tea Party and whomever else, fringe groups. And that's the base of the Republican Party. So these Republican politicians, from the new Speaker of the House to Donald Trump and everybody in rank and file, they know what they're doing. But they don't care, because once you generate, you know, votes or money, in the case of Fox News, they just put it out there. I don't care better than that. Eisenhower did warn, you know, that, you know, we have to think for ourselves and not be bullied by the military-industrial complex or, you know, people who have an agenda, a hidden agenda. An evangelical movement, you know, since Kennedy, right down to today, Charles Cork and David Cork, father, Fred Cork, pumped millions of dollars into the John Birch Society. It all started with John Birch, and it spawned into the family council or whatever the name. You know, and then we got Michelle Bachmann, we got Sarah Palin, we got Barry Goldwater. It has to end. This nonsense has to end. We need critical thinking. Not getting rid of the Department of Education, not getting rid of the State Department, not politicizing the Justice Department. We need accountability. We need thinking. And we need just good people in the government, because Republicans have the chance and the last chance. You see what they did when they have power. They can't govern. They're just worthless people from top to bottom. And the people who are worth a grain of salt, they're either run out, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger in Illinois, or they say, you know what, screw this. Like Buck in Colorado, Congressman Buck, he's like, yeah, screw this, you know, I'm not running for re-election. And I'm not saying Buck is an angel or paragon of virtue, but, you know, he's like one of the most conservative people in the Congress right now. Imagine being more fringe right-wing than him. That's madness. It's scary. It's Hitlerish. You know, Mussolini is blushing in his grave now to see what America turned into. Stalin especially, because since 1953 till now, or after the World War till now, Soviet Union have been trying to infiltrate. We see it with Russia today, where we have a stooge like Donald Trump being probably paid under the table. We saw it in his deals when he went to Europe and get money to borrow. And Russian oligarchs basically run these banks and everything, where American banks wouldn't lend him. And so here we are now. You know, that's the question has to be answered. I think Jack Smith, who does due diligence and put Trump where he needs to be, in prison. And that's my final word.
Yeah, I'm going to just say real quick that we all have to try to do our part to educate people and explain to them why this election is probably the most most important election in our lives right now. We're actually, you know, President Biden says we're fighting for the soul of America. And I believe, yes, we're for the soul of America. We are. We're also fighting for to hold on to our democracy. Our democracy is in jeopardy. We see it every single day. We have this axis of evil that is held over our country for 7-8 years now. And it's time that we decide to put all that to rest. Hopefully he'll be put in prison. Hopefully all of those that worked with him are, you know, come to justice as well. And we just have to vote blue, like Elaine said earlier. Hold your nose if you have to. But for this election, think about our democracy. Think about your children's, your grandchildren's futures. You don't want them to live in a fascist country, you know, with these crazy Christian right-wing nut jobs that want to control everything in your life. We don't want that. So vote blue no matter what. Get other people to vote. Explain to them what's going on. And that's all I can say about it.
Yeah. Okay, so well, thank you all for joining us and listening and sharing on social media. Our website, again, is kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have merchandise up. We'll have more cooking recipes up you could try. And we'll have more articles. So, you know, we're on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank Kelly for calling in earlier, and also Lisa and Elaine.
Thank you.
And one more person who was shy and didn't say anything. Thank you for calling in. So until Sunday again, new program, same time, same place. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for November 2nd, 2023. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope all of you join us on Sunday. Everyone have a great day and peace to everyone. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Good night. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Bye, Elaine.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.